Like I say, good afternoon, everyone. We're thankful to have each and every person on the call this evening. Afternoon, rather, and if you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very important person to us, and we want you to be saved. To do that, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, suffered there, shed blood, washed his sins away, and blood purchased his church, his bride, the Church of Christ. The Lord asked to the church daily that you should be saved. So, in order to be saved, you must hear that gospel, believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's when your soul has been saved. Then you must live faithful unto death. You get your crown of life. To those who may be visible in the congregation, we appreciate you being on the call with us for a short period of time this afternoon. We thank you so very much for joining us. This evening, I want to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. We're ready to hear it. We'll start at verse 1. I want this lesson to design, I was designed it to help us understand that we're dealing with sin in the world. We're dealing with sin at the church. We're dealing with sin on the job. We're dealing with sin in our homes. The world is filled up with sinful people. But we need to understand that this all started in the garden. And it's a problem. It has always been a problem since that day. The whole world is caught up in sin. And all of us need to understand there's none righteous, no doubt. All of us are in need of a Savior who will be held accountable for our actions, for the sins that we engage in, word, thoughts, and deeds, willful sins, and also sins, being involved in other sinful acts. Sin is man's greatest problem. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, this is where it all started. The title of this lesson this afternoon is The Lord God Said. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So this is Satan. We're talking about the serpent here. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent came back and said to her, you shall not surely die. But he just now said, what God said is not true. But God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, little G, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord. This is part I want to focus on. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam. So he first deals with Adam. He said to him, where are you? Where are thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree? Where have I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, woman who God gave it to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. Here's where I get my title. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, above upon that belly shall thou go, and shall thus shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he talks to the woman and asks her what happened. And she said that the serpent did. So God goes back and deals with the serpent first. He goes back and deals with the serpent. And now the serpent will suffer a penalty because of what he does. And the penalty, he's going to be upon his belly he would go to dust. He would eat all the days of his life. And then there was something else, God, this is a prophecy, Genesis 3:15, that God would bruise Satan. In Romans 16:20, the Bible said, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This is the prophecy that Jesus would come through the Virgin Mary, that he would bring victory to mankind over sin. And he would take God, send his son to be born from the seed of a woman. That woman would bear a child. We know him as Jesus the Christ, who would bring victory and defeat Satan. Satan is defeated. Satan can never be saved. He can never go to heaven. For he's been cursed because of what he done in that garden. The Lord said, and then the Bible says, unto the woman he said. Now he goes from dealing with Satan to a woman. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. If sorrow shall that bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. He gave her a pillar, childbearing, sorrow during the future. The pains of a childbirth is one of the penalties that the woman suffers even today because of what went on in the garden. And then, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, so he's addressed the penalty for Satan. There's a penalty for the woman. And now he deals with Adam. He said, because you hearken to the voice of your wife, you listen to your wife, and have eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curses in the ground for thy sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorn and thistle shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Then he says, you're going to have to work. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. The penalty brought on the serpent and that he would be sliding on his belly. He would be defeated by Jesus. The woman would have childbearing pain. And she would have to desire her husband. And he would be ruling. But then Adam is cursed. He's cursed in the fact that he will have to work, sweat, and not only that, mankind would die because of this sin in the garden. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death I see. So death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. death is the reason people die is because it goes back to the garden because of sin. Death is passed upon all men. There's two types of death. Sin separates us from God. And then that sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And then it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, we are judgment. Paul said, for unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, which who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So he's saying, yes, it happened there. And the offense of one, many be dead because of Adam. Much more, though, God said, there's grace. This grace is in the person, one man, Jesus Christ, and abound unto men. So, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who is that? One man sinned Adam, and then the other man, Jesus Christ. So by the offense of one shall obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jesus was obedient to his Father. He came down from heaven's glory to take on this issue of sin. He became sin for us that we can become righteous. All of this started in the garden. Paul said, moreover, the law here, the offense may abound, but what sin abound, grace is much more abound. Grace is much more abounding than sin. I ask that as sin reigns the devil, even so by grace reigns through righteousness until eternal life by Jesus Christ. So what is the message? What is the message that I want everyone to get to see? What we all are dealing with in life is called sin. But let's remember this. Satan did not get away with the wrong he done. He paid the penalty. The woman did not get away. She paid a penalty. Why? Because the Lord God said, Adam didn't get away with doing wrong. He had to pay the penalty because the Lord God said. And every one of us on this call, all of us listening, me too, understand it. If we don't get sin out of our lives, we will pay the penalty. The penalty will be, what Jesus said in John 8, 21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That means the penalty for us is spiritual death, separated from God. And the second death is separated from God, eternal. That's a severe penalty for sin. So did the woman get away? No, she didn't. Did the serpent get away? No, he would not. Did Adam get away? No, he didn't. Will you get away? No, you won't. Will I get away with doing wrong? No, I won't. At the end of the day, the Bible says, appointed unto man wants to die. Who said it? The Lord said it. And after that, there will be a judgment. The lesson this evening is simple and short, I know that. But it's been a long day. But the message that we all should leave with, keep in mind, nobody will get away with sinful things unless they repent. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. Grace much more abounds. And that was the Jesus, when John saw him coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And that was Jesus. He was grace on the cross. He was our hope on the cross. He was truth on the cross to get us, give us all hope that even though we're going to die the physical death, we don't have to die the spiritual death and the second death. The second death, is separation from God eternally. Brothers and sisters, I think we all need to focus on our lives and focus on the things in our lives that we need to work on. Because sin, everyone, all have sinned. All sins have fallen short of the glory of God. And we thank God for Jesus Christ, who came and lived among men, to give us that hope of eternal life. And I know you're on the call desk. That's why you're listening to a word from the Lord. We need to understand the danger in living in sin. This Bible teaches us that John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, Revelation 20:12. And the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. 66 books of the Bible are going to be open. That book of life is going to be open. He said, the sea gave up the dead, who was in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, who was in them from the grave. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Every one of us on here will face God for the sins that we die in. Or we can face God being saved by grace, by being obedient to Him and becoming righteous. In that case, when you face God, not to be judged, but to hear Him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. And Revelation 20:14, in closing, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the penalty. All of us, any of us who die as I see, the penalty will be the lake of fire. There was a penalty for Adam, a penalty for Eve, a penalty for the serpent forsaking himself, and it will be a penalty for me. It's a penalty for you. So it behooves us to focus on being more spiritual and focus in our lives to work the things in our lives out that are sinful. For surely it was God who said the appointment will be made to die a dead godsend. Just like he said, spoke directly to Adam, directly to Eve, and directly to Satan. He has said, your time gonna come, and I'll be your judge. If you're on the call today, you want to go to heaven. There's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. The only way we're gonna get to heaven is that we deal with the sin that so easily beset us. What is the sin right now in your life? If you had to ask the question, it had to answer publicly. What sin will you die in if you die today? For surely God has said there will be a judgment. God has said if you die in your sin, you can't go to heaven. God said, that's the emphasis on this. When we believe that, the Lord meant what he said, it is time for us to look in the mirror of the Word of God, see what it is that we're going against the will of God. And you can't be saved until you repent, stop doing it, or that sin won't be forgiven. The other thing, if you can't forgive others, you'll never be forgiven yourself. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is nasty. Sin is deadly. Sin is something that faces us all. It faces the world. And the world, all people, make account, it be held accountable for their own decision to engage in sin or to participate in the sins of others. The lesson is yours. If you're on the call today, you say, Brother Brooks, I know I got some things going on in my life I need to get out. I want to be forgiven by God. Well, the first thing you need to understand is that God rules Satan. He did it by sending his only son to this world. His son lived among men for 33 years. He knew no sin. He became sin for us on the cross. They beat him brutally. They spit upon him. They mocked him. And they slapped him. They hit him with a punch, then with a fist. Then they put the tree of the cross on his back when he was wearing the crown of thorns. He's going to Calvary to take out Satan. He's going to the bruising, and he's going to take him out. The only way he could take it out is sin, since we all know how to die. We had to be we needed a Savior. And Jesus hung on that cross 6 long hours in pain and shame. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have hope because God said, I'm going to take care of the sin issue by sending my son. And Paul says, he died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So Jesus came, and we can be saved. We can win if it's this thing called sin, if we obey God. Are you obeying God this evening? If you're on the call, you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that's what baptism is for. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, Peter said. The remission of your sins. Remission means forgiveness of your sins. The Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there will be no remission of sins. It took the blood of Jesus. And that blood, contact, and baptism, according to Revelation 1:5. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized, wash away your sin, call on the name of the Lord. So you need to be baptized to become a member of the Lord's church. And the Lord said that. And the Lord said, if you don't be obedient, be sin, there will be a second death, second separation forever from God. So you're only calling in your member of the church. You all, you've been fighting this thing for sin. What God expects from us, according to 1 John 1, we ought to confess our sins. We confess our sins, he's just to forgive us. We have to repent. Your repentance takes place in your heart when you say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. And then confess. We ought to confess our sins and then pray for one another. That's what the Bible teaches. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another. So if you want to call it in, you got sin in your life. You simply, as a member of the church, confess your sin. That don't mean tell us what it is. God knows what it is. But you can say, I have sinned, brothers and sisters, and I want y'all to pray for me. Why do we want the church to pray for us? For the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You can also ask a prayer supplication. Lord, we need what you need in this life, a prayer of intercession. Someone praying for you that you can get over the sin situation you got. You may feel trapped. You may feel trapped in this situation. But don't die like that. You don't want to die like that because God has seen it. There will be a penalty. Told Satan, Adam, Eve, and us. And that's my lesson. If you have interest in becoming a member of the Church of Christ, you just hit 5-star on your phone. We will know if you need us to pray for you, for anything you're going through, or what you're battling with, or perhaps you don't have to do nothing to do with sin. Maybe you're just going through a hard time right now. Maybe you're under some stress right now. Maybe you're going through something in your life right now. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe something going on your job, going on with your family, or simply just going on with your personal life. Prayer changes things. Let us pray for you, and let us pray together. I want to ask that y'all pray for me, Brother Brooks. Pray for me. I need it.